Hello, good afternoon. This is Shweta, a senior SD with Microsoft, and I have Mani.
Hi, I'm Mani.
And we are here to talk to you about what's brewing on Azure. So just give us a couple of minutes. We are waiting for a few more people to join, and then we'll get started right in.
So I guess we'll start. So the first update is regarding the Azure command line interface version 2. So this has been out for some time now, and the commands to manage virtual machines, the Azure Container Service, storage, and networks are now generally available. So I mean, the earlier version of Azure CLI, we got feedback from several of you that it wasn't very easy to perform administrative tasks and combining the outputs from the Azure CLI 1 commands and combine them with Unix tools like grep, cut, awk, you know, or JSON tools like JQ, JSON parsing tools. So that's why Azure CLI 2 gives you those options, both in terms of ease of management. So for instance, you have the output types of tab separated, or you could have it in JSON format, right? So basically, if it is tab separated, then you can use commands like grep and awk, and it's much more easier to manage. Or you can put output type as JSON, and you can then use JQ to parse the output. So it makes it much more easier to manage. Also, the other key difference would be that now we have the option of specifying the no wait. So basically, we don't wait for, so if you're performing a long running operation, it will take some time for the resource manager to complete. You can specify no wait, and basically you can continue while that operation executes in the background. So yeah, and the command line interface, just like before, it will work on all the platforms. So Mac, Linux, Windows, right? It is cross platform, and it is, I mean, these commands which I mentioned, which are generally available, yeah, we've got full support through the Microsoft Azure support channels, and you can also raise issues on GitHub. Moving on, the next announcement is that Kubernetes on Azure Container Service is now generally available. So again, Kubernetes has been available on Azure since last year, right? And Azure is the only cloud platform, which now supports the three major orchestration frameworks out there for containers. So they are Docker Swarm, DCOS, right, and now Kubernetes as well. So yeah, so I mean, we've, along with Mesosphere guys, the DCOS orchestration has been optimized on Azure Container Service. Similar thing with Docker Swarm, and Kubernetes also is now generally available. Other than this, Windows Server Container support for Kubernetes that is in preview right now on ACF. Yeah, so I think that's about it for this particular announcement. We'll move on to the next one. So basically, we already had the application inside JavaScript SDK. So basically, you could put a snippet out of all your pages for all your application pages, and then we would get application insight metrics, okay, on the application insight dashboards, right? Now the SDK has been enhanced, okay, both in terms of security, right? So all calls are not over HTTPS, and also in terms of performance, to take into account that the snippet doesn't interfere with the performance of the page. So that is just like a minimal overhead now. So yeah, that's what this particular SDK update gives us.
So let's talk about Azure Security Center. So we, as you're aware, Azure Security Center has been built over years and years of work that Microsoft has been doing in the area of cybersecurity and research. And this service is available for you to use to protect your resources on Azure in your subscription. So we are constantly enhancing, and there are a couple of new capabilities that we've launched and will be available going forward. A few of them to highlight is application whitelisting. So one of the most common features, or one of the most common threats that once a VM is compromised on any public cloud, the most common functionality is that the hacker or attacker runs malicious code on the VM. So the Azure Security Centers, by applying their own has now the capability to monitor your VM and suggest applications that should be whitelisted for running your VM. So that potentially blocks any non-whitelisted application running. So that reduces the chances of your VM running malicious code, which can harm your other resources as well as become a victim of an attack. The other thing that we have is just-in-time network access to VMs. Now, typically ports, RDP ports, SSH ports are the ones that are used quite often for brute force attack. And the way Azure is trying to, these VMs are working is that the ports are opened only for the required connection, when a connection is needed, and they remain closed throughout. So that will reduce the surface area for brute force attack to occur. The other new feature is in the area of advanced threat detection. As you're aware, that Security Center uses a lot of advanced machine learning algorithms that are self-learning and involve a lot of pattern recognition. So the way it works is that all the VMs are categorized based on traffic, on the incoming and ongoing traffic, and the advanced threat security algorithms can detect unusual outbound DDoS attacks. That is when an attacker has taken control of your VM and then is launching an outbound DDoS attack into outside. So that can be detected pretty fast. And then also it has included advanced brute force detection mechanisms which will enable additional ports such as FTP, Telnet, SMTP, MongoDB, which you would have heard was in the news for quite a lot of attacks around the globe. So that's all we have from the Security Center. The other big announcements, and that's something that we're very excited to talk about, is managed disks and larger scale sets. So if you're managing VMs on Azure, you're aware of the 20,000 IOPS limitations that we have for storage accounts, and a lot of people, in order to maximize on the IOPS, you end up managing several storage accounts. So you would have your disks in multiple storage accounts for the same VM, and you would have to get into a lot of operations to make sure, and a lot of calculations to make sure you're optimizing and maximizing these IOPS. So we've launched Managed Disk as a PaaS, as a service. So when you're creating a VM, either through your ARM template, where it is exposed as a Managed Disk resource, or you are going through the portal, you have an option to say, yes, I want Azure to manage my VMs. So you don't have to worry about creating multiple storage accounts and the IOPS. You can simply specify what is the size of the VMs you need, and it'll do the remaining for you. So you need not even have multiple storage accounts. You could just have, you can have around 10,000 disks in one storage account per subscription. And all of them could be placed in one storage account. So storage account is no longer a logical limit for your IOPS. And this comes with other, this managed disk are available both in premium and in standard. You have premium disk as well as standard disk. You would be billed on the transactions for standard disk, but not for premium disk. You also have an option to snapshot them. So the difference between an image and snapshot is that you can snapshot the disk at any point in time, and you can even recreate images from that disk with those snapshots. So you don't really need to. This avoids you copying the disk into multiple storage accounts and creating VMs from multiple storage accounts. You can just create multiple VMs from the copies of these disks in the same storage account. Another thing is that now we have, with this capability, also manage your availability sets. Availability goes really high. For example, if you have five VMs with managed disk in an availability set, it'll ensure that each of these disks are placed in different storage stamps, which will in turn ensure that all of them are not on the same physical racks or in the same power supply, along with your compute resources, which are managed through availability sets. And this has also, we're also releasing a larger scale set, so you can now deploy up to 1,000 VMs in a single scale set compared to the 100 you had before. So this is one of the features that we see will really enhance the way you work or deploy and manage your resources, infrastructure resources on Azure. Along with this, we are also announcing a beta of the new Azure management libraries. And these betas is first available in Java and .NET, and they will have support to create these managed disk resources. And there are quite a lot of questions coming from the audience. We'll address those questions at the end of the session. So Mani, over to you.
So StoreSimple virtual array is a storage appliance-based storage service, and where you decide that what data stays on-premise and what is stored to the cloud. And this particular update, it basically has a few bug fixes, and then there are improvements pertaining to the performance of storage, restore, and backup, right? So yeah, we recommend that you do apply this update, okay? And it will require a reboot of the virtual array. So you will need a maintenance window. Yeah, so but you should apply this. So the instant file recovery or restore as a service, as people may decide to call it. It's basically any backup which was created using the Azure backup, we can use those recovery points, okay, to basically get any file or folder from that backup, okay, and move it to a location of our choice without having to provision any additional infrastructure. So the way it will it works is that you first mount that particular backup restore point, okay, to a volume, and then you can choose the files and folders and move them to the desired destination. So yeah, that's a really cool service used in conjunction with the Azure backup.
So let's talk a bit about storage service here. So we, as you're aware, we do have a storage service encryption. So today, if you go and create a storage account and you have your files uploaded in a blob storage or in a regular storage, you have an option to turn on encryption, which means that your data is encrypted at rest and managed transparently by Azure. And the encryption and decryption is managed by Azure using an AES 256 bit encryption. And now we've extended this functionality to include the Azure files. So Azure files are a feature which basically provides you a shared storage across which you can mount as disk to VMs, and it lets you share files or access files as if they've been accessed, as they're regularly accessed using the regular file storage protocols, including SMB protocols. So now these are available. Now there is a storage encryption service available which you can just turn on whenever you like. Now these will be available in the newly created ARM storage accounts, and you can and this also is providing you enhanced compliance requirements that are required for data at rest. So the other thing that we have is the SQL Data Warehouse is one of is a large scale data warehouse as a service which is available, which has been available on Azure. And the way the service works is you can scale out compute and store it separately. So you can have your data stored as flat CSV files in blob storage, and you can run your data warehouse compute on top of it, and you can scale out and scale in. So for example, if you're running your analytics reporting services or providing reports for a couple of hours every day, you can scale out the data warehouse computer source to a larger SKU, run the analytics services and scale down to a smaller SKU while the data is stored in your blob storage. So this works with the concept of external tables. So it's similar to the way Hive works. You can create external tables which are loaded from blob storage using the Polybase. Now we've extended this feature to Azure Data Lake. So Azure Data Lake is it's almost like we call indefinite large scale storage service that we have, where you can store a lot of information and treat it as in two senses a data lake. It could have logs, it could have operational data, it could have transactional data, typically, the way we and you can load this data as external tables on data warehouse, similar to what you would do with blob storage. The advantage here you have is data lake comes. So you typically a business case that it would really help is where you dump a lot of data on data lake, and then you run this basic cleansing and mapping on analytics services using data lake analytics service, which runs on HDInsight. And then you could do some advanced analytics by taking this cleansed data or processed data and loading them in your data warehouse and make it available for your business users to run reports around them. So this is one of the very good enhanced features that we have now available, where there's an integration with data warehouse and data lake.
So earlier this month, we announced significant price reductions in cost of compute and storage, right? And I mean, this will help our customers just achieve more, make the best out of Azure. And the price reductions for the different tiers of VMs and storage accounts vary. From 18 to about 40-50%, you can have a look at the detailed prices on the website. Yeah. So this one is the Event Hubs dot. There's a new .NET standard client. Okay. So earlier we, if you wanted to connect to Event Hubs, you would have to use the Windows Azure Service Bus library. The new client has specific functionality related to Event Hubs, right? So it's optimized for Event Hubs, okay? And the other benefit here is that if you use the standard .NET, this is a standard library which is portable across the different .NET runtimes, which include .NET Core, .NET Framework, and Universal Windows Platform, right? So now Event Hubs have their own library, yeah? And earlier, like, we used to, you know, use the Service Bus library, and it wasn't a very, you know, intuitive when you were in some cases. So, yeah. Yeah. So we also, the last update is related to the enhanced automated backup for SQL Server 2016. Okay. Basically, now we have the ability to backup system databases. And if, again, a lot of optimizations. Yeah, so basically now we can configure the schedules of the backups, the frequency in much more detail than we had the ability to do in the past. And yeah, I mean, as I said, a lot of configuration is now up to you, the granular level, like choosing which system databases, the schedule, the frequency. You can control that to a much finer, you've got much finer control over these things now. Yeah, and it's available, I mean, through the Azure portal or PowerShell on Azure virtual machines.
So the updates are available on the link that we are sharing. You can, you know, go ahead and share. There are a few questions that we could answer. And so the first question is, will we be able to overcome SQL patch size constraints using Azure Data Lake? The answer would be no, because Azure SQL, it depends on what you're using Azure SQL for. If Azure SQL is being used as a transactional database, then the data lake and Azure data warehouse is more for your data warehousing or analytics purposes. It wouldn't make sense for you to use that as an extension to SQL Azure. So it I would keep the two separate. And but yes, you could technically archive your data. So let's say you have your transactional database and you don't really need, say, you only need the current month's data and the last month's data, or last 6 months' data, or last all the data before prior to this month is more for reporting purposes. You could look at archiving it out to Data Lake. So it largely depends on what are you storing in Data Lake. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a question from Balaji: install MySQL and PHP at at Azure account. So I mean, I'm not sure what the question means. So if it is installing MySQL and PHP on Azure VMs, that is also possible. And the Azure web apps, they also support PHP, right? So yeah, so it is supported. Maybe you could add a few more details to your question, and we'll take that later on after answering the next few questions.
So Raghav from IBM says that having two independent storage accounts avoid a single point of failure. So could you please explain? Yes. What I meant by that is that in an availability set, when you create VMs, and let's say all the VMs have the disk in the same storage account, you end up having a single point of failure. So the VMs, when they created the resource, the compute resources are in availability set are created in separate racks, and as much as possible are created farther apart from each other so that there are any kind of failures will have a limited impact on the compute. But if all your disks in the same storage account, and if the storage account and the VMs or the machines that are running the storage account say comes down, you run the risk of having the entire VMs going down. This is very very rare, but it is possible. But with Azure managed disks, if you letting Azure manage the disk, it will ensure that the VMs, each of the disks for each of the VMs are actually created in separate machines, in separate racks or separate power supplies, similar to how the compute is being created. Hence, you have a far more lower chances of the VMs going down. So I hope this answered your question. Was there a slide on VM scale set? No, we just spoke about it, but you can get more details about it in the link. Navneet also asked that all managed disk deleted when the VM or deployment is deleted. Yes, it works exactly how it's working with your unmanaged disk. It's the only difference is that they are being managed as a service. Are there PowerShell commandments to use JIT enhancements to the security center? No, these are this is something that we probably get back to you on. We are not sure how is that being implemented, but from my limited view, I think it's a feature that you turn on or off from the security center.
So, okay, Mahesh's question is, we will have to wait for depending resources, right? Or is that something we can do in parallel? So basically, I'm assuming this is related to that wait and no wait. So generally, right now, if you're using Azure CLI and say you fire a Azure group deployment create command, which will take the ARM template and create a whole deployment with number of resources. Now that might take quite long, right? And what happens currently is that you keep on getting after every 2-3 minutes, you'll keep on getting updates that this is the status of this resource. But basically, with no wait, you now have the option of letting that deployment continue, because anyway you can get the status of the deployment with commands or through the portal, right? And you can fire the next set of commands you want to. So that is what that means. You still have the option of, in fact, that I think the wait is still the default. So you will get the output as things run. But if you want, you can choose no wait.
New questions on the top. So there's one follow-up question from Mahesh saying that, are there any plans for solving SQL size constraints? So I'm assuming this is SQL Azure, so we are constantly upgrading the services that we have available, but I'm not aware of any plans that as of now that have been announced that would look at increasing the SQL size. But keep in mind, you do have SQL sharding as an option where you can shard across multiple databases. And if you do have requirements that are going beyond the terabyte, the 5 terabyte size, then get in touch with us through your sound teams, and we'd be happy to help you out. So I guess with this, we are also running out of time. So.
I think there are no more questions. So
yeah, and we'll be happy to answer any questions. And there is a question on if the link will be available. Yes, the link will be available later. So please go through. But do please go through the links that we're sharing on the screen right now. That has the latest updates and more details around it. I hope you found the session useful. And speak to you next month. Thank you.